You are listening to a sermon from MCA Church. To learn more about our community, head online to mcachurch.ca. Thanks.
Well, good morning, church, and a real special thank you to Asher for sharing his story this morning. Asher, you have my favorite Hebrew name. Asher, it means blessed, and you've been a blessing to us this morning, so thanks for leading us. Church, let me invite you once again to let the Apostle Peter be your pastor. Hear the word of the Lord. This is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 12. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when He predicted the suffering of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. When they spoke of the things that have now been told to you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, even angels long to look into these things. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Jesus, this morning, I pray that you would lift people out of the ashes. And that you would pour your oil of joy for your church. And though the circumstances we find ourselves might not be happy, we do have a joyous hope. An excitement, not simply for our future, but in our present. Because you live in and among us by your Holy Spirit. And so as we sit under the truth of your word this morning, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and do what only you can do. Breathe your Holy Spirit life into us and make us your church. We pray these things this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I know we have a few movie buffs amongst us, and so I want to play, I'm going to play a song for you, we're going to play a little game here this morning. I'm going to play the musical score from a famous movie, and you have to guess the movie. Okay, are you ready? If you have a device that you can type in the chat your answer, we'd love to hear it, see how good you are at the trivia game. Okay, here we go. The first musical score is coming right up. You guessed the movie. Here it is. Now, obviously, we're starting on a really easy note here. The movie should be pretty obvious. We had first in Cindy Glubish saying Star Wars, and I'm sure a few more to follow here. You got it, the Star Wars, easy to hear. Okay, let's cue up the second one. We gave you a little longer on that one just to make sure that you were picking up what we were putting down. Let's see what some people see. Oh, quick to the punch in that Glubish household. You are on the text there. We got Rachel Bone. You nailed it. Indiana Jones. Good. Here comes the third one. This one's a little more difficult. Sorry. Did you get that one? I was starting to play my violin. I don't even know if it was a violin that was playing. This one's a tough one. Oh my goodness, the Glubish household. You're 3 for 3, Jurassic Park, way to go. That was a tough one. Okay, last one coming at you. You'll all get this one. It makes me feel like I'm frolicking out in the Shire. Beverly Hills Cop 2, almost, Marcus, you almost had it. Come on, that last one was Lord of the Rings, the epic, epic movie, Lord of the Rings. Way to go, team. It's good to see we spend our time wisely. No, it's good. I love all these movies. A movie score is this piece of music that plays in the background at various times throughout an entire movie. And it's like this underlying thread that's woven throughout the entirety of the story. And the movie often is easily recognized by the music that is playing. And now the Apostle Peter, he is drawing our attention to the musical score of the Christian life. The single thread woven throughout our story, the entire backdrop of the Christian life as we follow Jesus. And it is captured in the first word of verse 3. Praise. Praise is the backdrop of the Christian life. It's the soundtrack of Jesus' disciples. The section of scripture that I just read in 1 Peter, it is relatively complicated, isn't it? There are lots of words and images, and it's relatively long. There are 10 verses and 287 words, to be exact. But in the original language, it is all one single sentence. You believe that? If you have your Bible, why don't you open it and just look at that sentence? It runs from verse 3 all the way to the end of verse 12. It is one very long, run-on sentence. And all the English teachers out there are doing the face palm. It's a run-on sentence. In English terms, this passage is composed of a series of subordinate clauses that modify the one main clause. In other words, there is one main action in the lone sentence that underscores all the rest. One main action that underscores all else in the life of the Christian. And it is this. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise is the movie score of the entire Christian life. It's the unifying thread woven throughout the story of people who trust in and follow Jesus. Which is quite amazing for Pastor Peter. because he comes writing a letter to people that he has pastored. And we need to remember who the people he was speaking to were. They were foreigners, exiles. Peter is writing to people who were marginalized and lived on the fringe of society. They were socially ostracized and shamed because they claimed to follow Jesus. And because they followed Jesus, their businesses suffered. Their status in the society, it suffered. And their relationships with family, they suffered. And so then here comes Pastor Peter writing a letter to all those who suffer and to help them live wisely and faithfully at such a time as this. And the first word that Peter sets to ink is the word praise. Praise be to God. At first glance, it might seem a little bit insensitive, isn't it? He's writing to people who are suffering. He's writing to people who are grieving. They're grieving the loss of friendships, and they're just trying to put food on their table and pay their bills. They're grieving the enjoyment of belonging within a family. He's writing to people who are living in danger. Yet, in all of this, he calls them to praise. At first, it seems out of place. You know what? It would be out of place if Peter were simply giving a word of advice. But Peter isn't saying, you know, I know that life isn't turning out the way that you wanted it to turn out, people, but here's what you need to do. You simply need to go and put on your Hillsong music and sing along, and that'll make everything better. Peter isn't giving advice at the start of his letter. He is speaking about something that actually happens when a person encounters the love and power of Jesus Christ. A lot like Asher did when he encountered the love of Jesus Christ. Praise arises from the lips of the saints, even in the most difficult of circumstances. Even when life doesn't go our way, the musical score, it still plays. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the music that was playing in the lives of those Peter pastored. Verse 6. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. It's the music that's playing. These hardships have come so that your faith may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. It's the music that's playing. Verse 8, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. It's the music that's playing. The backdrop of the Christian life is praise, even in the midst of the most difficult circumstances. And you know what? This is a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing when we see it in action. 2 months ago, I shared with you about my friend Brita, who was in a serious accident and she broke her back, leaving her without the use of her legs. And Brita is married to Sandy, the pastor at Lake Country Alliance Church, just down the street, a good family friends of ours, and they have 3 beautiful young girls. They're a beautiful family, but their lives were turned upside down. They were rocked 2 months ago. And Brita is in rehabilitation, in a rehabilitation center in Vancouver, and she's relearning how to do just about everything. And she'll be there for maybe even a little more than 3 more months yet. There, away from her girls, in a hospital room, grieving and growing stronger, praying and attending therapies. And well, I spoke to Sandy on Friday night, and when I asked how Brita was doing, he said, "Keith, check this out." And he pulled out his phone, and he showed me a video of Brita that she had sent to Sandy. And there Brita is in the video, sitting in the starkness of her hospital room in front of a keyboard. She looked into the camera, and she said, "Sandy, I've been working on this." She began to play a melody on the keys. And then she sang the lyrics that came straight from her heart. "Create in me a clean, clean heart. Create in me a work of art. Create in me a miracle. Something real and something beautiful." And then she sang, "You're not finished with me yet. You're not finished with me yet. By your power I can change, 'cause you're not finished with me yet." And at this point I'm watching this video and my heart is like, yes. The backdrop of the Christian life is praise. Even in the most difficult of circumstances. And it is a powerful thing to see a life that has encountered the love and power of Jesus Christ. It's a powerful thing. And the question that is begged to be asked is how? How is praise in the face of a challenging circumstance even possible? How can we be thankful to God when it feels like the world is against us? How can we consider it pure joy when we face trials of all many kinds, as James, the brother of Jesus, puts it? How can we give honor and glory to God when hardships and tragedy and illness and opposition are the pool that we're swimming in? How is praise even possible in the face of life's problems? Well, it's possible because of what Jesus has done and what Jesus is doing. First, praise be because of what Jesus has done. Verses 3 and 4. Jesus has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Now, what does Jesus mean by this? Peter mean by this? What does he mean by a living hope and an inheritance through the resurrection of Christ? Peter is reminding us about the destiny Jesus has secured for every person who places their lives in his hands. On the first Easter weekend, the Son of God suffered. He suffered under the weight of the world's brokenness, the full weight of your life's mistakes, and all of your hardships and all of your tragedies. They were laid upon his shoulders, and there upon the cross, at that precise moment in human history, he dismantled their power for eternity. And we know it to be true because 3 days later, Jesus rose from the grave. He overthrew their power and conquered the curse. And Pastor Peter, he is saying that when we place our lives in the hands of Jesus, We become heirs to His redemptive power. We are given new birth into the family of God, and as heirs to the power of Jesus' resurrection, we have been given an inheritance that can never perish or spoil or fade. Those are the words that Peter uses in verse 4. What has Jesus done that is cause for praise in the face of hardships? He has secured a life that is imperishable, free from death and decay. He has secured a life that is unspoilable, free from moral impurity and the curse of sin. He has secured for us a life that is unfading, free from the natural ravages of time. In other words, the resurrection of Jesus is proof that the physical death, it does not have the final say in your life, and that sin, whether your own or the sins of another person, they do not have the final say in your life. And even the broken tragedies of time, even they do not have the final say in your life. And so we praise God. We praise God because Jesus and the power of His resurrection, they have the final say in your life. Praise be to God because of what Jesus has done. And what only Jesus can do. Praise be. But praise be also because of what Jesus is doing. The musical score of praise in the life of a Christian isn't simply because of the future that Jesus has secured for us, but it's also because of His resurrection power manifest among us right here, right now. In the present. Listen to how Peter describes the goal of our faith in Christ. Listen carefully. Verse 9, Peter says, "You are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Now, to be clear, time out here from the text a little bit. Peter, when he says the salvation of your souls, he isn't simply thinking about this soul that we have that is detached from our body. That's more of a later thinking. In Peter's time and day, the soul was the idea of a person, the self, who you are. The goal of our faith is that we are receiving the salvation of who we are. Now pay attention to the word receiving. God's salvation isn't simply something we receive once and then we're done with the matter. Rather, God's salvation is something that we are receiving. It is an ongoing action in the midst of our present reality, no matter what that reality is. My friend Brita, she doesn't simply praise God because one day she will regain the use of her legs. But she praises God because today, even in this moment, she is receiving the redemptive and restorative power of God in her life. God is not finished with her yet. He's creating a masterpiece of salvation, a work of art, a miracle, something real, and something beautiful. Praise be to God because of what Jesus is doing, even now. It's why Peter says our hope is living. It's a living hope. Even in disappointment and tragedy, hope does not die. Because Jesus, His Spirit, is alive, living, and active among us, in us. Here's a thought for you this morning, church. In your life thus far, as a follower of Jesus, you have received a taste of what is yet to come. And by that I mean you've experienced a taste of something greater yet to come. There is more, much more, to come as we follow and entrust our lives to Jesus. Now, for some of you, when Jesus first grabbed hold of your life, if you think back to that first season, when Jesus first grabbed hold of your life, for some of you, he miraculously gave you joy where you once were crippled with despair. It's what he did. For others of you, he healed your sickness. Or maybe he healed some of your broken relationships. Others of you, in that first season of life, you experienced a freedom from sin, one that you couldn't explain. Jesus broke the chains. Some experienced the miracle of God's embrace and the sense of belonging in his family when all you ever felt like was an outsider. Others experienced a sense of purpose that you didn't know before, a driving force to your life. Then there are those who, when they first encountered Jesus, they experienced his power and his authority in place of their own human weakness. And here's the point. Those moments in the past of God's salvation manifest in your life are simply a foretaste of what is yet to come, even today. In the days ahead, Jesus has more for you, much more. More joy, more healing, more reconciliation in your relationships, more freedom from sin, more embrace and a deeper sense of belonging, more God-given purpose, more God-given power, more God-given authority. Praise be to God because of what Jesus is doing. He is perfecting our faith. He is giving us his salvation, and we are receiving it. Our hope is a living hope in the present. God is not finished with you yet. He's creating a masterpiece of salvation, a work of art, a miracle, something real and something beautiful. And it's all through the resurrecting power of Jesus. Maybe you feel stuck in your faith today. You have a sense of the future hope of God's salvation in Jesus, but it's been ages, ages since you feel like you've received anything fresh from the Lord. Hope might be there, but it's not a living hope in the present. It's like the soundtrack of your life is a record skipping. Jesus wants to move your song forward today. He has new mercies for you every morning. By the power of his Holy Spirit, even in this moment, simply open your heart to him. Open your heart to his love and presence. And Jesus, in your name, breathe life where there was death. Joy where there was despair, hope where there was hopelessness. May your kingdom come on earth just as it is in heaven. Or maybe for you today, you're hearing the story of my friend Brita, and you're thinking to yourself, I want what she's got. Maybe you've never put your faith in Jesus before and you hear her story and you say, I want what she's got. That's what's missing in my life. The power to sing in the dark. A living hope in the difficult circumstances of my life. And friends, you need to know this morning that that living hope is found only in the person of Jesus. And you can receive it this morning. And so let me invite us all, one and all, to turn and return to Jesus. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. And so whether we're praying this for the first time this morning or the 100th time, let us pray together. Jesus, I am lost without you. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I'm broken in need of repair. I'm discouraged in need of joy. I'm a work in progress. And what I need more than anything is the salvation found only in you. Take hold of my life. I'll follow wherever you lead. Amen. Church, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Amen and amen.